Now, change the law urgently so that the police and council officers can confiscate alcohol from street drinkers, the Belfast Telegraph is reporting. That's what Belfast City Manager Andrew Irvine is calling for. But would it work? What would happen if the police try and take a bottle of booze off someone who is already drunk? Is it a case of an arrest? Andrew joins us this morning, as does the blogger Chris Nixon, who became homeless at the age of 17. Morning to you, gentlemen.
Morning, Enda.
Morning.
Andrew, spell out your concerns for us.
Well, we have a core group of people, probably around 40 or so, who would regularly drink on the streets of the city centre. We're taking a three-stage approach to this. The first is working really closely with a welcome organisation who offer the support that's needed, because at the end of the day, addiction is an illness. People who have addictions need, first of all, need help. So the first strand of this is to actually try and bring the help that's required through the welcome organisation. The second stage has been to try and discourage on-street drinking, which is illegal, through cutting off supply. So the city centre off-licences that we're working with will not serve alcohol to those who they know are regularly going to drink that on the street.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line for us is that, having first of all tried to bring that help, and we do that day and daily through the welcome organisation, secondly, having tried to cut off the supply, for those few who belligerently want to say, well, you know, you can take your help and shove it, I don't want it, and who are going to get other people to go in and buy alcohol for them, which they do, and are belligerently saying, I'm going to sit in Donegal Place in the middle of the day and drink in a shop doorway, there has to be a bottom line of enforcement. Having first of all gone through the help route first,
mm-hmm.
there has to be a bottom line if people don't want to accept that help and want to belligerently break the law. And our difficulty is that the only law there is a bylaw, and it simply allows that individual to be reported to the court.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't allow a council officer or police officer to actually remove the alcohol. Now, just to finalise my initial comments,
mm-hmm.
is to say that the police are no... We are talking about a core group of people who we know very well, know on first-name terms. So when it comes to removing that alcohol, the officers are dealing with people whom they know. So
maybe not always.
The vast majority of the time, they're known on a first-name terms.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have a statement to hand from the police, Andrew, addressing some of the concerns you've raised there. They say that, and you've already made this point, police only have the power to seize alcohol from individuals under the age of 18. For those aged 18 and over, we only have the power to take their details and forward them to Belfast City Council for consideration of prosecution under the civic bylaws. So the police seem to be indicating there that their hands are tied when it comes to seizing alcohol off those over the age of 18. This is what you want to see changed, essentially. You want to see police officers grabbing for the bottles of beer down the town?
In the context that, first of all, the welcome organisation have been there and have tried to offer help.
So it's get tough, essentially, is what you're looking for.
I'm looking to help first and get tough for those who won't accept the help.
What do you think, Chris?
I think it's really quite ignorant to use the word belligerent. You're talking about people who have serious mental and standard health issues, and you're saying if they don't accept help, then they're just going to be belligerent from that point? That's just insulting. I understand what you're trying to do, Andrew, but it sounds a little bit like you're suggesting that once we tried to tackle the problem on the first basis, after that it's the police's problem, let's bust them off to jails, because that is exactly what will happen. Currently, the waiting times for inpatient treatment in Northern Ireland are over 13 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go down today and you can take the alcohol off someone who's addicted and facing, as you said in your article, Andrew, a myriad of problems. That's probably going to present a conflict point. Even if it doesn't, it's not stopping the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try and get it again.
So what's your solution, Chris?
There isn't one. Not that I can come up with. If there was one, I'd love to implement it, because it could have saved 5 lives already this year. But one solution is not just going around taking drink off people. They're going to go and get it again. I understand the point. It's a very simple solution to suggest. But
so it's something we just have to live with. It's something that businesses in the city centre are just going to have to put up with. Is that what you're saying?
Either every statutory body gets together, puts their heads around the same table and comes up with a problem with a solution that tackles every aspect of the problem at the same time. It has to be an all-encompassing approach. You can't just pick one part and attack it. It's not going to solve anything. That problem will just manifest itself again and again and again. You're not going to solve the problem by taking drink away. I'm addicted to using Twitter. You take my phone away, I'm going to go and use a laptop. I'm going to use a tablet. Alcohol is exactly the same thing. People have got their lives ruined by this in many occasions. It's also how people get through a day on many occasions. Taking that away, going up to someone and just taking away their can of beer, does Andrew really think that's going to solve the problem?
Let me ask him. Andrew.
Well, let me first just take up the point about the availability of help. There is certainly appreciate from addiction services within the trust, etc., that there are waiting lists, but let's be clear that there is daily help available through the Welcome Organisation, publicly funded, every day, no waiting list, outreach team in the city centre from 6 a.m. to midnight every day. That help is immediately available, so I just want to make that point. And I want to stress that we're talking about that being the first intervention, is that help. But it's not acceptable.
Let Andrew make his point. I'll come back to you.
But it's not acceptable to say then that from a business's point of view that there isn't an answer and that, you know, sorry, you just have to put up with it. And while it is against the law, and it is against the law to drink on the streets of Belfast, that because there isn't a solution to it or an easy solution to it, that everybody just has to put up with it. That's not an answer, I'm afraid, Enda. So from our point of view, I think our position is very reasonable. Mm-hmm. Of saying, look, it's about help first. We're recognising that it is that addictions are difficult, as your other contributor has said. Mm-hmm. That point is absolutely correct. So therefore, we're approaching this first and foremost from the point of view of help. But there has to be a bottom line when that help is not accepted. And it's not acceptable to say, well, therefore, they may just sit in our shop doorways and drink alcohol all day. That's not acceptable.
Let me let Chris come back in again. Chris.
So it's a tokenistic problem, or it's a tokenistic solution you're suggesting, that we have to do something, so let's do this. I'm not trying to be at conflict with you, Andrew, but if you're not going to tackle all of the problem, you're not going to solve any of the problem.
We're talking about the Welcome Organisation.
Do fantastic work. I completely agree. There's definitely something to be said, though, for the fact that we're putting it out to a non-governmental organisation. Why are statutory bodies not in full control of this?
Okay.
We believe, Enda, that removing the alcohol actually is part of the solution. We believe that there needs to be a bottom line. And for those people, and making the decision early in the morning, when they're still sober, there needs to be an understanding that if I stay here and get drunk, or try to drink here, that alcohol will be removed from me.
Andrew and Chris, stay with us. We're coming back to this after the 10 o'clock news because lots of people want to get in on this as well. Feelings run pretty high when it comes to street drinking in Belfast. That's for sure, judging by the calls to the programme. Andrew and Chris, back with a moment or two after the 10 o'clock news. Now, should police have the power to confiscate alcohol from street drinkers? That's the call today from the Belfast City Manager, Andrew Irvine. He says this should be considered because businesses in and around the city centre are fed up that nothing seems to be done to tackle this particular problem. Andrew's with us, as is Chris Nixon. Now, Andrew, judging by a lot of the text into the programme this morning, a lot of businesses in and around the city centre, there is a feeling out of there that they have run out of patience with this particular problem. Is that what you're hearing on the ground?
Well, they are exasperated that there doesn't seem to be any statutory power to have a bottom line on it. You know, the businesses are educated around this. They want to be part of the solution. So when the Lord Mayor brought his stakeholder group together around issues in the street recently, a number of our key business people in the city centre, including the director of Castle Court and the manager of Easton's and the manager of Boots, etc., and the manager of Marks and Spencer's, come on to that group. So the businesses do actually want to contribute, and I would want the listeners to know that they actually want to be part of the solution. But their view very much is the view that I'm expressing this morning, which is it's all about health first, but there must be a bottom line. And we can't simply have a situation where, albeit for a myriad of complex reasons, people don't want to engage with that help. And taking Chris's point that, you know, it can be difficult for individuals to engage with that help. I take Chris's point in that. But there must be a bottom line. And it can't be that at the end of the day, it's simply acceptable to sit in the doorway of a shop in the middle of the morning in Belfast City Centre and get drunk.
So if police then had the power tomorrow, for instance, to confiscate alcohol from street drinkers, do you think this problem would be eradicated?
I'm not saying it would be eradicated, but, it may be that the seizure of alcohol may actually be helpful in terms of getting people to make the right choice about not drinking in the street in the first place. It may be helpful.
That's incredibly naive.
Go ahead, Chris.
That's incredibly naive to think that if you just take drink off someone, that it's going to be the trigger that starts them on the path to reform. There's no way that's going to happen. And you know that, Andrew. You know that.
I'm not suggesting that it's the only solution, though. So, Chris, I mean, please take all of my points. I'm talking about it in a suite of measures, which includes the help that's given every day. Mm-hmm. So, Chris, what I'm suggesting is not as simple, yeah, Chris, as you've just painted it.
Chris, what about that point that Andrew makes, that we need a bottom line with this? And the problem is, right now, there is no bottom line.
The bottom line shouldn't end up being jail, though, in not every situation.
So, we're not talking jail. We're talking taking a bottle of alcohol of somebody.
Okay, so what happens whenever the person doesn't want to give up the alcohol that they've bought? Do the police just say, okay, then, fair enough? You don't think that there's likely to be points of conflict here? You don't think that perhaps people won't want to give it over? Hmm. What happens then? The police have just been given these powers that you want to implement.
But the police will obviously do their job, whatever the situation arises.
Of course, and if someone's objecting to letting the police carry out their job, which is, I'm not giving you my bottle of vodka, that's breaking the law, correct? It's fine to think of the first part of this and saying, oh, we need to take alcohol off people, but actually think down the line, what does that mean? How does that manifest itself through decision-making and through problems?
Mm-hmm. And can I say that it comes back to the point I made earlier about the relationships here. We're talking about a core group of the same individuals every day. The police and those individuals are on first-name terms with each other. So that interaction between the police and the individuals is not in the context of strangers. It's in the context of people who meet each other every day and deal with each other every day. And I actually think the police deserve more credit than that. I think the police are very good at their job, and I think they're very relational in how they deal with people.
What about this?
That's the context. That's the context.
How about this as a proposition then, Andrew, that's talking about solving things? How about if we can get agreement from parties and the executive that police can give people an option on this, hand over your alcohol, and we will take you now and put you in a treatment facility if you choose? Would that be something that could work with city centre management? Because otherwise it's just going to be a case of punitive. There needs to be something put in there that's a holistic solution. It can't just be a case of give it over or else.
Isn't that a fair point, Andrew?
We'd be very willing to engage with that idea. Very, very willing to engage with that idea. But
don't you think that should be the idea?
Let Andrew answer the question.
The point, Chris, is that we're probably still going to end up, I would imagine, with a number of individuals for whom it'll come down to the bottom line, because while that's a good idea and I'd be very, very, very willing to take it forward and explore it, you're going to have some individuals who will refuse to engage with that too, and who will still say, no, I want to sit here in the doorway of this vacant shop and get drunk here, and won't engage with it. So I think that would be a very helpful idea to add to what's already going on, and it will be a great contribution to help and reduce the problem, but there will still be some individuals for whom there needs to be a bottom line.
Hold that thought for a moment, Andrew. Let's hear from somebody who did have the job of, I suppose, confronting street drinkers and addressing this problem on the street. Alex is a former police officer. Alex, from what you've heard so far this morning, do you think that the police should have the power to confiscate alcohol from street drinkers?
Yes, well, in quite a lot of areas they already have the power. You do drink in areas. But yeah, I think the shoes, and I think the concerns with what would happen if they refuse. But sure, that's the case with every interaction the police have with the public. But I think the issue of alcoholism is separate from the issue of street drinking to a degree. Just because you can't stop somebody being an alcoholic to take a drink off them doesn't mean you shouldn't take the drink off them on the street. The rest of the people that are out shopping shouldn't have to sit and watch people sitting, in doorways, drunk out of their minds.
Have you ever taken alcohol off anybody?
Yes, I have. So certain areas you're not allowed to drink.
Mm-hmm. And how did that go down with them? Did you meet any aggression?
No. They weren't already happy, but they knew that they were going to lose the drink one way or the other. And I suppose people aren't stupid. They know if they're told. They know for a start they shouldn't be doing it. Mm-hmm. They know they've been caught, and they know that if they kick up a ruffle, it'll just make it worse for them.
So when Andrew says, for instance, that the police already know the names of the people involved in street drinking in and around Belfast City Centre, that they know who to talk to, and he feels that this could quite easily be introduced without a lot of hassle, do you agree with him on that?
I think it would be, yes, I would say so. Yes, it may well drive it underground, it may well drive it somewhere where you can't see it. With the police, it isn't as visible. But, a lot of people do not. It's not a great ad for a city to have people lying about drinking. it doesn't make people feel safe. It doesn't make people feel secure. I mean, I'm talking about the shoppers.
Yeah, so there is a policing solution to this, then, you think?
Certainly, it's part of the solution, yes. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to, you know, just because you're not going to turn them from being alcoholics doesn't mean you shouldn't stop them down in a shop doorway drinking.
And what about that suggestion from Chris there, the fact that you take alcohol off somebody who's street drinking and say to them and give them the opportunity to bring them somewhere where they can get help? How do you think that would go down in your experience?
I don't think the police would have time to do that, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Even to make the offer?
You can make the offer. I suppose you could print off a leaflet and that sort of thing, but I don't think the police would time. I don't know necessarily. I mean, I've known a few alcoholics in my time, and I don't necessarily think they don't necessarily want to be cured. They quite mm-hmm. they want to drink. That's why they're alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the situation a few weeks ago where somebody died in the streets, mm-hmm. and yet it was revealed the news he had been offered a hostel.
Mm-hmm.
The problem's not just as simple as black and white.
Mm-hmm. And will some of your former colleagues be listening to you right now and thinking to themselves, we don't want the hassle. We don't want the hassle of getting these powers now, because then we're going to have to enforce them, and that's just an extra headache.
Well, if you take parks and a lot of areas, a lot of areas of Northern Ireland, if you take parks, you're really allowed to drink. So it's not as though it's going to make a vast difference. It's just going to, I suppose, you're not going to have that yourself. It's just one of those areas.
Chris?
I can understand entirely what he's saying. The fact that the police have enough to do, yes. The fact that the police won't be able to do that much other than enforce the law as it is. But it comes down to that point of, we as a society, I think, are judged best on how we deal with those in need the most. And if all we're doing is saying, give me that thing that you're addicted to, or else. You have to be willing to go through with the or else. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to carry that through the legal system, because it will come to that. For managing a bar, I used to manage a bar in Belfast City Centre, and we regularly had problem street drinkers outside the bar in the morning trying to get alcohol through the day, and I knew enough on how to sort of deal with it, as I'm sure Andrew and the officer you've got on the call there now. It doesn't stop the problem, though. They're going to go somewhere else. They're going to try and get it another way. You need to either present an actual solution rather than just going, no, mm-hmm. it's not going to work. That won't work on its own.
Andrew,
people say we need a holistic approach to tackling homelessness. This is exactly what it means. It can't just be a punitive action.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, last word to you on this one. Is this something that you're now going to raise with the police, the potential of this, the prospect of it? Is it something you're going to discuss with Belfast City Council? Are you going to actually take action?
Well, firstly to say, Chris isn't hearing me to a point here. He keeps saying the only action, if we only do this, if we only seize alcohol. I have not said that this morning. I've clearly presented this in the context of a range of help which has been made available, treating this as the addiction that it is every day in the city, and talking about a bottom line enforcement in the context of all of that help. I wanted Chris to hear that. Are we going to take it forward? Yes, we are. And I've already been up with Gordon McElroy, who is the currently the Senior Vice President of the Belfast Chamber of Trade and Commerce, is stepping forward, I think, or has been nominated for election as the President of the Chamber for this year's AGM in June. Gordon leads our City Centre Beach Steering Group. It's a group of individuals who, the committee, if you like, who look after the City Centre Beach Police Scheme that we have, which is a privately funded scheme in the City Centre. Gordon and I have been up to see the Justice Minister on this and had the conversation with him. So we are going to quietly work away in the background, hopefully in a sensible and an articulate conversation which asks these questions, and hopefully we arrive at a decision at some stage in the future which improves Belfast City Centre for all of us and in a way that is helpful to those who are
And out of interest, what was the response from the Justice Minister? Was he open
to
this?
Well, he listened to us very carefully, but some of the issues have a wider UK context, and therefore he's having to make his decisions in conjunction with the Home Office as well.
His hands are tied then, is that what he said?
It wasn't all within his gift, I think is the best way to describe it. But he gave us a good hearing on it, and I think I believe he's sympathetic to the arguments that we're putting forward.
Okay. Gentlemen, on that note, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. That's Chris Nixon and Andrew Irvine there, who is the Belfast City Centre Manager.